Welcome to another UCTV.tv podcast presented by University of California Television.
UCLA is a university with unlimited possibilities for students that desire world-class academics and research, unmatched diversity, incredible cultural and social opportunities, successful alumni and career networking, first-class campus facilities, plus America's top intercollegiate sports teams. Located in Westwood, just a few miles from the Pacific Ocean, UCLA's one-square-mile campus is surrounded by famous cities such as Bel Air, Beverly Hills, Brentwood, and Santa Monica.
Welcome to Bruin Talk, along with Naomi Manea. This is John Ramey. We have a fantastic show today. Tyus Edney is here of the UCLA men's basketball coaching staff. Also, Dan Connors and Katie Camp from the women's volleyball team.
Before we meet our first guest, let's take a look at the upcoming events.
Our first guest today on Bruin Talk is Tyus Edney. He is perhaps the architect of the most definitive moment, the 1995 championship run for UCLA men's basketball, defeating Missouri in a final mad dash at the buzzer. That was the 11th championship squad here at UCLA. Tyus has rejoined the Bruins as the director of basketball operations in between his two stints in Westwood. He played for Sacramento, Boston, and Indiana in the NBA. He also played professionally in Europe. Tyus Edney, welcome to Bruin Talk.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome back to Westwood. You've been on the staff since August as the director of operations. How do you like your coaching career here with the Bruins?
I'm enjoying it. I think it's a really, really good opportunity for me, and it's just good to be back on campus, be around, you know, the guys and Westwood and the alums and all the students.
You never played for Coach Hallen. You played under Jim Herrick. So it's a different coaching regime here. Has there been any adjustment for you, or is good basketball coaching good basketball coaching, and it's very simple?
Yeah, that's true. Good coaching is good coaching. I mean, Coach Hallen is an excellent coach, and I was fortunate to be around Coach Herrick and Coach Hallen now, and I'm looking forward to the season. I want to learn a lot from them, and you know, so far I've already learned a lot. And, you know, he's making all the guys better and the team better, and I'm excited for the season.
What's it like being on the operations side of things versus being on the player side of things?
A little bit different. There's a lot of administrative duties, you know, the scheduling, getting, you know, helping the guys out in any way I can, helping coach out. You know, just a lot of things that are behind the scenes that most people don't know goes on. Those are a lot of my duties and along with helping out, you know, coach doing whatever he needs me to do, and you know, just being around, I guess, being a mentor to the guys and things like that.
1995 is a few years ago now, and we were talking before the beginning of the show about how old some of us were when your great shot and your great run happened. How do you deal with that as a person, as an athlete? Because obviously you've had 15 years of life success transpire since 1995, but it's at the forefront of people's minds when they meet you. How do you deal with that? Is it ever a struggle to say, hey, I'm Tyus Edney, I'm a grown man, I have a coaching career, or are you happy to celebrate what you did in 1995?
I'm happy to celebrate it. I think it's something that is always a part of me and my experience here at UCLA as along with the fans. I mean, I think we had a great year, great experience, and everybody felt that, I think, around the city. And when people bring it up for me, I don't mind hearing about it ever. So they're all good memories.
Did you know you had it the whole way against Missouri?
No. I can't say I knew I had it the whole way. I mean, I think, that was desperation time. So it's not a lot of thinking. There's a lot of instinct and reaction. So I was glad when it did go in.
So you're back at UCLA. I'm going to ask a little bit about your UCLA career here. How do you think your UCLA education side of things helped you in your professional pursuits?
Oh, that's just such a big part of what I'm able to do now. I think being that I was able to graduate and just have the experience to be a student athlete, I think it's very difficult, for the athletes to learn how to balance that. And I think that carries over into everything that you do for the rest of your life. And, I'm just fortunate to have had that experience. And without that, I think, a lot of things, a lot of choices that you make, could have been different. But, I'm just glad that I was able to, to come here to this excellent university and get my degree and move on to better things now.
Now you're in the coaching pipeline, as they say. Is your ultimate goal to be a head coach? And since you played at the NBA, and that is now an option for you as well, because there are many former players who are head coaches, not only at the collegiate level, but at the professional level. So is that your goal?
Yeah, I can see myself doing that one day. I mean, that's something that I would like to pursue one day. I think basketball has been a part of my life basically since I was 4 years old, it's brought me a lot of opportunities for me to stay around the game and try to help younger players and things like that to get better. I would definitely like to maybe try that one day.
You mentioned the difficult task of balancing being a student athlete. You were a student athlete here. Do you think that helps you relate to the student athletes that you're now helping?
I think so. I mean, I think the struggles that you go through, I think with the pressure of playing at a high level, as along with the pressure of succeeding in academics at a high level, and I know it's a lot of stress involved, and it can weigh on the guys, and I hope they do come to me, and I'll go to them also, and just try to help them to get through it the best way that they can, I definitely feel I can relate to them in that sense and help them through the whole process.
You played professionally in Europe in addition to the NBA. What was it like to play pro basketball on a different continent, in many different cultures? Was it weird? Was it different?
Yeah, it was definitely an experience. I think something that changes you as a person. Living, just immersing yourself into the culture and learning, how things work over there is just completely different. I think we're pretty spoiled here in America. I mean, everything is pretty easy, and over there you definitely notice the differences and then how the people live and the cultures and the big key for me over there was the more open-minded and the more willing that I was to learn about those cultures and things, and the easier it was for me to transition. And I've had great experience over there, championships and things like that, experience winning over there also, and I really enjoyed my time.
How was the basketball? I mean, they got that weird key. I guess the big men shoot pretty well. How was the game different?
It's kind of like college. I would relate it to with grown men playing, guys with experience that have been playing a long time, stronger. I think the time I was over there, the game, it progressed and it changed. I think it got a lot faster. I think they play, the guys are more athletic. I think the skill level has gone up. They're really big over there on fundamentals and teaching, the game the right way. And, a lot of now it's like it's a global sport. I mean, they come here to learn, we go over there to learn things like that. So it's like, I think the basketball world and the levels have all kind of equaled out a little bit. I think you've seen that in the, with the USA teams and things like that, how difficult it is for them to win now. But, it's definitely good basketball over there, and it's tough.
Playing in an NCAA tournament is always exciting, let alone winning it. We've mentioned that you won amazingly in 1995. Describe that experience for us.
Oh, the whole experience of the tournament is it's basically what you live for, I think, as a player. I mean, you want to make the tournament, and then you know, when you're there, it's like it's a new season and it's a new opportunity to show the world on, you know, on a big stage what you can do and what you've, you know, been working towards all season. And it's just an exciting experience. I mean, the whole run, you know, it was a little pressure when I was, you know, my senior year, obviously, when we were on the ropes. But I think for us, for example, after that, I mean, we were just, you know, the sky was the limit. You know, it was just like a roller coaster, but a fun one.
Now, it hasn't been too long since you played here at UCLA and now, but enough time has transpired that there, I assume, could be some differences in how the game is played. What do you perceive to be the biggest differences between student athletes now and when you were a player in Westwood?
I think one of the main differences seems to be mentally, I think. A lot of the players now have the aspiration, I guess, to go to the NBA, and they're really, I think, focusing more on that. I think now you have a lot of teams that don't stay together as long, and you know, sometimes I think that makes the team suffer. I think also that the more the teams are staying together, the teams that are, you know, together longer, the guys that grow and get better as players, their teams are better. So you have, I think, a lot of maybe smaller teams, not as, you know, the main, you know, the Dukes and UCLAs, and they're not always just the shoe-in to be in the Final Four now. So I think the game has changed in that sense, to where now you have, you know, the power balance, I guess you could say, is more even now.
Being a basketball player at UCLA, we have to bring up Coach Wooden. Tell us a little bit about how his legacy impacted you, either as a Bruin or just as a basketball player for your whole career.
For me, it was a thrill when I saw him. I mean, he used to come to our practices, and just him being at all the games, and I mean, it's almost surreal. You just can't believe he's coming and like to watch. It's like he's watching us. Like, he cares about what, you know, we're doing, and but that's just the kind of person he was. You know, I when I was playing, I heard through the grade that he liked how I played and things like that, and that just, you know, that really inspired me, because this is the greatest coach ever, and to know that he thought that I was a good player was unbelievable for me, and inspiring.
Let's talk about the 2010-2011 Bruins team. How far do you think they can go, and what do you think are appropriate goals for the squad?
I think right now, I think we need to focus on how we start the season. Obviously, I think everyone wants to win the Pac-10. I think when you're making goals, I think you take each goal each step at a time. And right now, you know, our mind is to win the Pac-10. You know, the guys, they've really been working hard, and I'm happy to see that they're really driven, I think, to have a good season and a good year. You know, I feel it. I feel like we're going to do well this year, and I'm looking forward to the start.
What are you looking forward the most to as you return to UCLA?
Being at a game and being down there on the floor and feeling the energy and the fans and you know, just the competitive spirit and you know, it feels like I'll be, you know, kind of back out there being a Bruin again, and you know, that was a exciting time in my life, and you know, looking forward to trying to help these next teams, you know, get back to championship level.
Tyus Edney is back in Westwood. The hero from the 1995 Bruins National Championship team is the new Director of Operations for Men's Basketball. Welcome back, and thanks for being with us on Bruin Talk.
Thank you.
Bruin Talk will return after this brief public service announcement.
A trophy can be made just about anywhere. But there's one place where champions are made. UCLA, champions meet here.
Welcome back to Bruin Talk. Before we meet our next guests, let's take a look at the athlete of the week. This week, we honor Shannon Murakami of the women's cross-country team as our Student Athlete of the Week. A senior from Saugus, California, Shannon recently posted a top 20 finish at the Notre Dame Invitational. Her time also contributed to the team's 338-point 12th place finish. She also finished third in the recent Stanford Invitational and was UCLA's top finisher. At the Cal State Fullerton season opener, Shannon led her team to an overall first-place finish, winning by a margin of nearly 50 points over the second-place team. Since 2009, Shannon has been UCLA's top runner and has always provided a source of energy, inspiration, and leadership for her teammates. Congratulations, Shannon, and good luck to the rest of the team. If you would like additional information about UCLA athletics, please visit our website at www.uclabruins.com.
Our next guests are from the women's volleyball team, assistant coach Dan Connors. He's in his fifth season with the Bruins. They've made the postseason each year he has been on the staff. Third-year junior Katie Camp is also with us. She currently leads the Pac-10 in blocks per set. Welcome to Bruin Talk.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So it's your fifth year. It's your second head coach you've worked under. How has that transition been, and how's new coach Seeley measuring up?
Well, it's been a fun transition, you know. With Andy, he's been here for 43 years, and I got to learn a lot under Andy, and I'm actually learning more from Andy now than I did when I was under him, because we're in a transition period, and I'm pulling things from what I learned from him, which is nice to have that. And Mike's been great, great to work with, always looking forward and moving forward, and if we hit bumps in the road, which we do, it's not something that we dwell on. We just work together and move past them, and it's been a really nice, easy, smooth transition.
Katie, you're a junior now, which means you're an upperclassman. How do you plan on being a leader for your underclassmen this year?
I just try to work hard every day in the gym. Our captains do a really good job setting the tone, and I just try to follow them. We have a really good group of girls, so it's not too hard to set the tone in the gym because everyone's working hard, and it's easy. It's fun.
Dan, you played here at UCLA. You were on a team that was the runner-up in 2001 for the national championship. Talk about some of the differences between the men and the women's game.
Well, men are motivated different than women. I think you can
tread lightly.
Get in the guy's face and yell at him, and that might motivate him. Where with the women, you have to be a little more nurturing in the way you motivate. And it's just the way. Men and women are built, I think, and neither one's wrong or right. It's just that's the way it is. But the nice thing about it is it challenges you as a coach. You know, I coached with the men's team at Northridge for 3 years and got to learn how to motivate those guys. And now coaching with the women's, it's another challenge, a different challenge.
This question can go to both of you. You can answer from different perspectives. So far this season, there have been a lot of away games. How do you feel about the schedule for this season?
I think playing on the road is nice. It puts you in hostile environments, and you're out of your comfort zone. So it's a good challenge to play on the road, and I think it makes you more cohesive to be on the road with your team, staying in hotels. So you know, road matches, I don't see them as a negative. They might be a little tougher, a little more difficult to win, but the challenge is great for the growth of the team.
Yeah, I don't really see the road match as like a challenge either. I think home matches are fun because, you know, you can play in your gym and you have your fans cheering for you and you have all that positive energy. But at the same time, like, you have just as much motivation as when you're on the road, you know, playing at a full house for another team cheering against you. That just gives like an extra motivation that can like really push you to an upset or a big win.
This is your fifth season on the staff. So you have four complete seasons, four complete memories of four other teams. How does this edition compare with the other ones you've seen?
Well, I think every year is a new challenge. This year we have a little more change than we have in the past with the new coaching staff and 8 or 9 new players on the team. And it takes a little longer in this situation to find that cohesion and figure out what everyone else is about. When teams and groups have been together for a long time, they understand how each other work, and things are a little new for quite a large portion of the staff and players. So it's taking a little longer to work out those cohesion issues, but that's just part of the challenge and the job, and we're working through them.
I mean, you guys are 11-3, so obviously it hasn't been that difficult. Has that start surprised you at all?
I don't think so. You know, we challenge the players every day in the practice gym, and they've stepped up in practice, and I think that performance is showing on the court.
Did you expect to be 11-3?
I mean, I don't really expect to have like a certain record. I just think that our coaches do a really good job of making sure we stay focused for each game and not like look in the future, which is something that I really like. And I think it's kept our team on a really balanced level. So I think that has been able to help us when it comes to match play.
Katie, how did you start playing volleyball, and when did you decide that it was something that you're going to want to do for a long time?
I started playing in eighth grade. Obviously, my height, people were like, oh, you should play basketball, but I actually always played tennis. And I don't know, I just was kind of like got burnt out of tennis, practicing like every day for hours, and so I just want to try something new. My mom played volleyball in college at Williams, a small liberal arts school at Massachusetts. So I just tried out for my middle school team, and then I played at Triangle Volleyball Club in North Carolina, and I don't know, I just really liked it. I liked the team atmosphere. I liked the competitiveness of it, and I just kind of kept going with it. So,
Dan, you've got two sophomores that are performing well this year. Rachel Kidder and Bojana Todorovic have been achieving personal bests. What's it like to see the underclassmen come of age so quickly?
Well, it's nice. It's really nice. And, you know, everyone's equal out there. If you're a freshman, you can beat out a senior, so your class doesn't necessarily determine who you are, and we kind of preach that. You know, if you're going to be able to perform as a freshman, then you're going to be out there on the court. And the advantage that the upperclassmen have is experience, and it's nice to have the younger sophomores getting that experience now, so that when they do get into their junior and senior seasons, they'll be well developed.
I imagine it's especially important to have strong underclassmen when you only have two seniors on the team. Tell us a little bit how having only two seniors affects the leadership of the team.
Well, it makes the leadership important. You know, when you have a lot of younger players looking up to one or two, it's harder because there's not that tone set every day. It's the majority is the younger class. And it's harder to bring them all up to the mindset of what the leaders want. So it's a challenge for the leaders to be consistent in what they do and work to bring all the younger players, the players that are new to the system, up to the right mindset.
Katie, you're a middle blocker. Tell us a little bit about what that position is and why you're so good at it.
Well, middle is primary for blocking, obviously a middle blocker, but, you know, we really have to help out the front row, get a lot of touches. It's the main part of the defense. I mean, obviously if you don't have a block, you can't really dig around it and you can't run your offense. So, I don't know, I guess just practice is what really makes it, perfect, I guess. I mean, Dan is my like blocking coach, and he's like really helped me these past 3 years of reading setters and knowing when to release it outside and just like strategy. And I feel like we connect really well like on the court, and you know, we obviously have our disagreements sometimes, but he's a really good coach, and he really tells me like what to do and like what I need to work at, and I just feel like I've flourished because of the good coaching stuff.
So you've got to be a little bit psychic when you're reading the other team. How does that work? What do you look for?
I mean, you start with the pass. You have to look at the pass, see where it is. If it's off the net, you can know that it's not probably going to go to the middle, and then you can say, like, okay, what one of my pin hitters is more important, and it's just kind of like a process you go through. If it's a good pass, you have to look at the setter and know if she's a threat and what her tendencies are. So, I mean, there's a lot that goes into it, but, I mean,
it sounds like a lot.
I mean, it's not as much as, like, football, but, I mean, it's okay.
The men's team usually dresses up in spirited and funny attire for the women's games. Yeah. So, Katie, does this help with the energy of the team? And, Dan, is this something you used to do?
This didn't exist when I was a player. I think it was around before I was a player and then disappeared for a little while and then came back. But it's nice to have those guys there supporting and being rowdy and creating a nice atmosphere.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. They come to the gym, they bring so much fire. Pauly is such a great atmosphere already that they just add to it, and it really makes us want to like play really well for our fans.
Dan, you played professionally in Spain. How does that experience shape you as a coach, and what from that experience can you pass along to the players?
Spain gave me quite a bit of patience because I didn't speak Spanish very well, and so the learning process of what the coaching staff over there wanted for me took a little longer. And
were they not speaking much English?
No, they didn't speak much English.
Wow.
So I had to learn Spanish, and then one of the players had to translate for me, and so it gave me patience, which is a great virtue for a coach to have. And the experience of being immersed in another culture was incredible, and I would suggest that for any of our athletes.
Did you catch any bullfights?
I caught them on TV.
He was a matador, for sure.
Yeah, well, I was at Northridge afterwards.
So. Oh, there you go. Matadors. There's a connection.
Yeah, there you go.
So far, great job on the season. As we mentioned, the 11-3 record. What are you looking forward to, and what are your goals for the rest of the season as a coach and as an athlete?
I think as a coach, we're just looking to get better every day in practice, and keep progressing as a team and a group, and make sure our communication is there so that our cohesion can build. And ultimately, we just take it one day at a time and look to get better every day and build from there. And if there are setbacks, we're not concerned with them. We're looking forward.
Yeah, I think our biggest goal is just to work hard every day in the practice gym because, you know, we're not as, like, physical as a lot of other teams in the Pac-10, so we can't rely on, big hitters just to put the ball away every time. So we really have to work on, like, staying in system, and that's something that we can only do in practice. So,
Katie, you're originally from North Carolina. Where's your accent?
Well, I don't really have a southern drawl, I guess. But,
no.
I've moved around a lot. I was born in San Francisco and then moved to Indiana twice and then moved to North Carolina. So I'm kind of like a mix of the Midwest, Southwest, I guess. But, I just moved to L.A. because I wanted to get out of the South and experience something different. And so far, it's been awesome.
Dan Connors and Katie Camp with the UCLA women's volleyball team. Thanks, you guys, for joining us. And good luck in the Pac-10 season. I know you didn't want to say anything here, but it should be your championship this year. So good luck.
Thank
you.
Yes,
thank you very much.
Thanks for being with us on Brew and Talk. For Naomi Manea, this is John Ramey. We'll talk to you next time.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.